The next day you make a point stopping at a gas station to pick up a frozen burrito. That's right. You won't live off vending machine food alone. Not that a frozen burrito is any better, you think to yourself. When you arrive back at the building, coffee in hand, you do a double take. Is there assigned parking here? Or are all of the cars in exactly the same place as they were yesterday? Perhaps there is assigned parking, even though there's not very well-defined parking spots. You make a point to park in the same spot as you did yesterday, unsure. When in Rome, you think to yourself. You enter the building, this morning feeling much more confident. You have a handle on where to take this project, and in fact, you're sure if you wanted to, you could finish the project in the next 2 days, and have the last 2 days of the week just to play Minecraft or something. You feel a spring in your step and a whistle in your mouth as you walk toward the office. Again, there's nobody at the receptionist desk, and you wonder, why bother having a receptionist desk at all? And then you think to yourself, although you hadn't really seen a whole lot of traffic in and out the doors. And again, you have that niggling thought in the back of your head that you're not entirely sure what this place does. You had done some research in your hotel room the night before, looking up Women's Center, looking up the name Darla, thinking of anything, the location, anything that would give you a clue as to what this company, if you can call it that, this organization did. You had nothing. Googled your old boss, Martha Blackstone, trying to figure out what had become of her. She had left Dynamic Corporation more than 2 years ago, just after you had worked for them. That's interesting, you think to yourself. Well, she obviously had better things to do, but you can't find where it is that she's turned to. At any rate, it's all irrelevant. What matters is the project at hand, getting it done, and getting out of here and away from all of these creepy women as quickly as possible. You had tried not to notice that many of the women were attractive. Sure, some of them were a little strange, and all of them seemed to dislike you automatically, but many of them were quite attractive. So, you resolve to enjoy the eye candy while you can, in a very discreet way, of course, and respectful, always respectful. This didn't exactly seem like the kind of place that you'd want to be disrespectful. And concentrate on the work at hand, you know, and try to block out the creepy vibe that you were getting. You settle in, and you find yourself drawn back into the project. And again, your mind turns to the data at hand. As you're clicking through, you wonder, what is Jack Scott? Date of birth? What is this information any good for? And in your head, you start to concoct all these wild backstories. These are all the men who have abused the women and are served by this center. Maybe this is some sort of massive revenge effort to ruin these men's lives because they ruin these women's lives. You kind of like the thought. Something doesn't seem quite right about you. And you do notice that every entry is a man's name. Every entry. Well, I suppose if it was a list of men who had abused women, that would make sense, you think to yourself. But there seem to be some bits of information that you can't quite figure out what they mean. Some medical information, perhaps. It's hard to tell exactly. Health status. And then it seemed that there were a series of dates. And the word last above them, with a big M. What could last M mean? And there would be a series of dates, a few weeks apart mostly. Some of the men had dates stretching back months. Couldn't quite figure out what they were dates for. Perhaps they had come in for testing or court dates, maybe, if we're talking about battered women and trying to organize an effort to put these men behind bars. Court dates, that would make sense. But there were an awful lot of them, especially for some of these men. Who would need 25 court dates over the course of nearly a year? That didn't make any sense. Anyway, you decide it's better not to think too much about these dates, and instead, just concentrate on finishing the project. Around mid-morning, Darla pops her head into your office. "How's it going?" she says. She seems to be in quite a better mood than yesterday. You offer her a smile. Her expression immediately goes cold again. "And wrong move, dickhead," you think to yourself. Apparently you can't smile. Again, she sits on the corner of your desk, and again she leans over you, forcing you to look up at her, to make eye contact. The position makes you uncomfortable, and you can feel your palms start to sweat. There's just something about the way she carries herself. Can't quite put your finger on it, but it makes you uncomfortable and slightly aroused at the same time. But what didn't arouse you at that point? Well, I hope this project is coming along swimmingly. Yes, we want this to be as complete and thorough as possible. We're especially interested in making sure that these series of dates... You hear the click as her fingertips hits the screen. These series of dates remain as accurate and relevant as possible, and that it's easy to enter in new dates. Yes, of course, that's not a problem at all. I'm making sure that that's absolutely the case. You stammer and stumble, suddenly aware of whatever perfume or soap Darla seems to be wearing. It's an intoxicating scent, and you can't decide if it's her or something she put on, and you're not quite sure if it matters. You just want to keep smelling it. Again, Darla's voice drops. It seems colder, harder. Yes, those dates are quite important, as well as the other medical information, health, well-being, that kind of thing. You try not to let your puzzlement show. She's made it clear she doesn't want you to know what it is this information is for. You can't help yourself, though, and you can feel it bubbling up inside you. You know, if you tell me what the database is for, I'll be able to suit it and build it directly for your needs, you say, trying to keep your eyes low. She seems to dislike it when you make eye contact with her. Darla's fingertips click against the surface of the desk. Click, 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 click. I think I've made myself very clear, she says sharply. There's no need for you to understand what this data is for. I've made my needs very clear, and if you can't follow those directions, I'm sure we can find someone else. You quickly backpedal, interrupting her. Oh, no, that'll be fine. I can absolutely do this however you like. I don't need to know what this information is for. Good, she says firmly. She stands and leaves the room again. You take a deep, deep breath and let it out as a big sigh. Lunch early today, perhaps. This time in the lunchroom, there's already several people in there. As you round the corner, you can hear the conversation. You should have seen the look on his face, one woman is saying to another. There was a brief titter around the lunch table. All conversation stops when you enter the room, and again, four pairs of eyes stare at you, coldly. You feel quite uncomfortable, as usual, and you pray for your frozen burrito to heat up as quickly as possible. You slap it on a plate and decide that maybe it'd be a better idea to eat in your office. As you walk back towards your office and you leave the lunchroom, you can hear the ladies start to titter and giggle again, and you swear you hear one of them whisper, "Wouldn't mind seeing him strapped down." A few feet outside the doorway, you come to a stop. What did she just say? You almost return to the room, but you decide, no, it's better just to keep walking back to your office. In your office, you put your feet up on the desk, lean back in your chair, and bite into your frozen burrito. No longer frozen now. Now it's just hot lava in your mouth, burning your tongue. Fuck! You let out. A woman who is walking by gives you a terrible look. Ah, she says. Sorry, You try to apologize, your mouth full of hot cheese. Seems you're always making a mess of things. It'll be better once you get done with this project and can leave this place. At least with the money from this project, you won't be in such a rush to take on anything the next time. You'll be slightly more picky, well, with the good pay and all. The afternoon speeds by, and before you know it, it's 5 o'clock again. This time, Darla does not appear in the office, and you're deep, deep into the project when you realize that it's actually quite a bit past 5, almost 5:30. The mass exodus that you had seen yesterday didn't seem to appear to happen today. Perhaps everyone's working late, you think to yourself. Just then you hear a gathering in the hallway. You can hear the voices, and they're all walking toward the elevator. Many of the women sound giddy, happy, more excited than you'd heard them all day. They all seem to be moving toward the elevator, piling in, waiting, mostly content just to stand around, talk excitedly. You stand near the door to your office, not quite wanting to enter the hall. For some reason, you lean toward the open door, straining to hear the conversations. The general excitement speaks to you. It's driving you crazy. You're wondering what everyone is so excited about. You hear, "I wonder who it'll be tonight. Oh, I hope." You hear the tittering, the excitement. Just a few words, just enough to drive you crazy. "What is going on down there?" you think to yourself. You go back and sit at your desk. You half-heartedly attempt to work for another few minutes until you hear no one in the hallway. "I wonder," you think to yourself. "Surely it can't hurt just to go down the back stairwell and take a quick peek to see what's happening." You go to the stairwell, open the door. You can hear faint voices and smell what smells like a meal of some kind. "That bitch," you think to yourself. "There totally is a cafeteria down there. I knew it. Knew there had to be something." Even more intrigued, you start to walk down the stairs. Slowly, carefully, not wanting to run into Darla, or anyone, for that matter. You get to the bottom of the stairs, and you look down the hallway. Nothing. You look the other way. Nothing. Seems everyone must be congregated somewhere. Perhaps in this mystical, mysterious cafeteria that doesn't exist, you think to yourself. "I wonder, what could be happening down here?" You start to walk down the hall. These little rooms, they seem to be small. There are so many doors, you assume they're quite small. It's almost like walking through a dormitory. You pause. Inside one of the rooms, you can hear a shuffling sound. What seems to be a man's voice. You feel a little surprised. Didn't think there were any other men working here. You're about to knock on the door, then you think the better of it. "I don't want to interrupt anyone." You continue on down the hallway. You pause at a second door, and you can't help it. Your fingers twitch, and you go to open the door. Locked. You can hear some sounds behind it. There's obviously someone in there. But they don't want to be disturbed, you think to yourself. Some people like to lock their office doors. You keep on moving down the hall. Suddenly you see a larger room, or what seems to be a conference room. The door is open, but the room is dark. You step inside, take a look around. What seemed to be a conference room at first, on second glance, was something entirely different. Instead of a big table with chairs all arranged around it, there seemed to be almost an amphitheater of sorts. Some seats, and then, at the front, a strange table of sorts. Looked to be, well, about the size of a picnic table. but not flat on top. Instead, it was... You cock your head, trying to get a better look. And you can't help it. You walk closer. You know it's not a good idea to be in this room. Something tells you it's a terrible idea to be in this room. But you just have to know. Have to take a look at whatever it is that is obviously set up for a show. What with the amphitheater all around. You get to the bottom of the almost classroom-like setting. And you take a closer look at this not-picnic table. And suddenly, you see what it's for. It's meant for someone to be strapped face down. There are many straps, so clearly, whomever is strapped there is not strapped for any particular choice of their own. You take a closer look. It seems as though there's an interesting round tube kind of in the middle of where the person would be strapped face down. It's almost like a massage table with a place for the person's head to go. And then suddenly you realize that is about the exact spot where, if a man is lying down, his penis would be inside this cylinder-like object. Suddenly you can feel your skin start to crawl. What is this place? What is this machine? Because on closer inspection, you can tell that there are mechanical elements and moving parts. You look up and you suddenly imagine all of the women that you'd been seeing for the past few days pass by your office. All of their faces in the audience. Snide, cold faces. Laughing eyes. Snickering and tittering, laughing at one another. And your blood runs cold. You have to get out of here. You have to get out of here now. Suddenly you hear footsteps near the door. You panic, thinking, oh God, I shouldn't be in here. You dash to the side of the room where there's two large lecterns and an overturned table. And you crouch awkwardly as best you can behind them, shielding yourself from the women who are pouring through the door, beginning to take seats. Well, you know you shouldn't be here, but maybe you can get away with it if you can just hold still, wait out whatever scene was going to happen here. Women fill the auditorium, at least 70 of them, laughing, smiling, certainly looking happier than at any other point that you had seen them. They seemed excited, anticipatory. They were waiting for something. Suddenly a hush falls over the crowd as Darla enters the room. Click, 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 click. All the way down, standing next to the machine in the front of the room. You hold your breath. After last night, imagining her, you can't help but think of how good it would be, how exciting it would be if she were to find you and punish you the way that you had imagined last night while you were masturbating. But something tells you it's a bad idea.
At least something tells you you don't really want to have to be punished in front of all these women. Darla clears her throat. Well, ladies, are we ready for tonight's entertainment? The crowd yells, hoots, hollers. Oh yeah, you hear? Only a few feet from you. Well then, let's bring him in. Suddenly you hear someone. You try to peek in between the two lecterns that are blocking you from view. And you can see, among the crowd of women to the side, a man being led, his hands cuffed behind his back, being led by a leash. The man is naked, completely naked, except for the collar. You feel yourself catch your breath. You try to imagine what it would be like if you were the one being led down the stairs, naked in front of everyone. You feel a cold fear grip your spine. You value yourself. Not me. Never me. Now, you're not trying to look at these things, but you can tell there's something on the man's penis. Something. You squint and look a little bit closer. It looks like a metal cage or something. You can't quite make it out. At any rate, he's struggling, but he also seems somewhat excited, eager to get to the front of the room. Darla laughs, clears her throat. Well, ladies, here we have Matthew Freudenberg, or C. That's right, 37. Yes, and I believe his last appointment was 3 weeks ago. Has it been that long?
You must be very, very ready, aren't you?
You move your head slightly so that you can see the man nodding. He's gagged, and so he doesn't speak. Well, Darla looks like a cat that's caught a canary. She looks so pleased, excited. You can tell by the way she's moving that she's loving every moment of this. And the man just continues to look at her with big, desperate eyes. You can't quite make out what he's saying, but you think he's saying please. The desperation seems to make the entire crowd excited. You look back through the crack at the crowd, and you can see many women. Some of them are leaning next to the woman, to their left or to their right, and whispering. You can see a few of the women are even starting to touch themselves, running fingers over breasts, slipping fingers inside pants, or pulling up skirts. It's a hard sight to draw your eyes away from. So not often you see a room full of women, all excited, some touching one another, others touching themselves. You're not quite sure what's going on here, but you can tell. Whatever it is, these women are enjoying it, and they're very excited about whatever's going to come next. Darla reaches behind the man and unclasps the gag. Tell me. Tell us what you want. Please, says the man. And you're surprised at how desperate he sounds, the level of desperation in his voice. Please, please let me out of this cage. Suddenly you realize he's not referring to the cage that perhaps they had locked him in before. No, no, he's referring to whatever it is that is keeping his penis locked up. Please, please let me come. Please. The man is begging, desperate. The sound of his voice echoing through the room seems to be driving the women mad. A lot of them are tittering, laughing outright, some of them, at the man's desperation. Darla herself looks quite amused. "Get on your knees and face the women," she says to him. The man awkwardly drops to his knees, his hands still cuffed behind his back. He looks around the room. You can see that he's in obvious pain. And you can imagine why. You feel your own cock stiffening as you look out on the sea of women, some of whom are openly masturbating now, of unbuttoned shirts, loosened bras. There are women touching each other. It's extremely erotic. It's exciting, and you can only imagine how painful it must be to watch this scene with a metal cage with an iron grip on your cock, not allowing you to get hard. You let your own fingers move slightly, rubbing along your erection. You'd love to take your cock out and stroke, just watching these women touching each other, touching themselves. So erotic. The man begs again. "Please, please let me out of this cage. Please, I'll do anything, please." Several women are laughing as they start to stroke themselves harder. A few women are already coming. The show is unbearable to watch. You can't help but unzip your pants slowly, carefully, and pull out your cock, rubbing it. "This is incredible," you think. You're so glad that you're not the one in the front of the room. Darla snickers again. "So see, how long has it been? 20 days, 21 days since you were last able to touch yourself, since you were last allowed to come. Just think of all that boiling cum you must have inside you, that huge hot load." The man grunts, cries out in pain. You can't help but feel sorry for the man. You think to yourself, "God, just let him fucking touch himself." But no, the women continue to masturbate. In some cases, women are helping one another, fingers sliding inside of vaginas. All throughout the room, there's the sound of 2 dozen, 3 dozen more wet, dripping cunts. All that pussy. So wet. You begin to stroke yourself a little faster. "God, it's so good. Please. Please, please, please," says the man. "Please, God, please, please." "God, you're pathetic," says Darla. She puts the ball of her heel on the middle of his back and pushes him forward so that he's suddenly on all fours. She laughs, takes a moment to sit on his back. He holds perfectly still. Can't help but admire how forceful and strong Darla looks, sitting with her legs crossed on the man's bare back. You grimace to yourself, thinking of how much it must hurt to have his bare knees pressed against the concrete floor. No protection. The weight of Darla on his back. She gives it. "Oh, this is fun. Well, ladies, I think it's time we get this show on the road. Don't you think? You know why you're here." She stands up. "Get up. Get up." He struggles to his feet as best he can. His hands are still clasped behind his back. "Get on the table," says Darla. "But please, Darla holds up a small silver key. "This is what you want, isn't it? This is all you fucking pathetic men want. This key to your cock. So pathetic. What a waste of space you men are. All you care about is that piece of meat between your legs. Darla leans over, unlocks the man's cage, slides it off. Within seconds, the man is hard, his cock growing, throbbing. The look of intense pleasure in his face almost makes you wonder if it might be worth to be locked up for that long. But then you quickly shake your head. No, that's a bad idea. Darla roughly handles the man, not his cock, she doesn't touch it. In fact, she looks at it with disdain. You can tell the man would like to stroke it himself, but his hands are still cuffed behind his back. Go on now. Don't give me that look like I'm going to touch that fucking piece of shit. I'm not touching that cock of yours. I wouldn't touch it. Oh, no. No. Go ahead, lay down on the machine. The man groans, rolls over, and wiggles his way so that his hard cock is inside the cylinder on the machine. Darla quickly, methodically, and with the sign of someone who has had a lot of practice, straps the man down. Two straps over each thigh, a strap over the calves, another at the ankle, a couple of straps across the back, two straps each over the shoulders. She leaves his hands cuffed behind his back. His face is all the way down. Hear him moaning as he settles into the chair. So, C, do you want me to turn the machine on? Yeah. Yes. What was that? I can't quite hear you, says Darla's cold tone. Yes, please turn it on. Oh, God, please turn it on. The man is desperate. He keeps stroking. One eye on Darla, her fingers manipulating a series of buttons. Your other eye, you keep glancing at the woman, who seemed to be getting more and more worked up in a frenzy of excitement. Is it really so exciting to watch this man be strapped down? You wonder. You become engrossed as the women begin to suckle on each other's breasts, biting each other's nipples, hands moving down each other's stomachs, fingers playing with pussies. A few of the women have even dropped to their knees in the aisle to be able to pleasure another woman, legs sprawled over the seat in front of them. It's so incredible. You strike harder and faster. But you're trying to be careful. You don't want to breathe too loud. Somehow Darla would be sure to hear you, even over all the moaning, the excited sounds of 70 women, all on the verge of orgasm. Fuck, this sounds so good, you think? I just want to hear this sound until I die. This is all I want, you think? Suddenly you hear a loud hum, and then you hear a small vacuum sound. You tear your eyes away from the women, pleasuring one another, back to the machine. You can tell the cylinder has begun its suction on the man's penis. You can tell by the way his back is arching slightly despite all those straps, and by the tension you can see in his buttocks. The man's screams, however, tell you that it's both pleasurable and unpleasurable. Yeah, yes! Oh, God! Fuck! You can hear him saying. Meanwhile, Darla has begun to undress, slowly unbuttoning her tight little jacket, just as she did in your dream the night before. Shrugging out of it, unbuttoning her blouse. This time she reaches behind her, unhooks her bra, and as the bra comes off, you catch your breath slightly. God, her tits are gorgeous. Full, round, with those beautiful pink nipples. Large, they look so suckable. And your entire body tightens. You're starting to feel your legs go to sleep. Perhaps in part because all your blood is pooling in your cock, but also because you've been crouching for 15 minutes or more, just watching the scene unfold. From your angle, you can barely see the mechanical movements of the table. You can see the machine stroking the man's cock. What looks like a vacuum-sealed fleshlight moving along. At this point, you can tell that the man is enjoying it more than he's in pain, as he's thrusting his hips against the machine, trying to increase the contact even more. Darla laughs as she hikes up her skirt and then unzips it, letting it fall to the floor. She's left wearing a garter, two thigh-high stockings. Somehow you had known that's what she would be wearing. Only she wasn't wearing any panties. And your mouth is watering, looking at her as she stands there in just the garter and the stockings. And those black pumps. The ones that she made you suck on last night in your dream. Oh, God, you think. The man's screams are getting louder. And again, you can't tell if it's pleasure or pain. It doesn't matter to you. You're so close to coming yourself. Just looking at Darla. The way she looks so perfect. Just out of your dreams. You'd give anything to taste her. Slide your fingers inside her. Feel that tight, wet, hot pussy of her grip your cock. Oh, God. You're starting to feel a little lightheaded and you put a palm against one of the lecterns. To your horror, it shifts loudly and Darla's head whips around. She walks over quickly to you, where you're hiding, and her eyes widen as she sees you there, your hand on your cock. "Get up," she says with ice venom in her tone. "Get the fuck up right now and come down to the front of this room." Shaking, you can feel your heart on wither. "Fuck," you think. "Oh, fuck. Oh, God, no." But you obey. What are you going to do, anyway? How are you going to get away from her? From them? Granted, many of them are somewhat occupied at the moment. Now that you can stand up and take a good look. You have an even better view of the women in orgasmic, writhing pleasure. Fuck, that's so hot. You can't stop staring. Just then, the man gives out a blood-curdling scream as he comes. You see the machine sucking ream after ream after ream of white, hot cum, all being carefully collected by the machine into what looks like a large vial. The man shudders, slumps. You can tell it was incredibly satisfying for him, and yet you can't help but think the man would just prefer to touch his own cock and to feel it himself, rather than the ministrations of this machine. Darla's voice is cool in your ear. "What the fuck do you think you're doing down here?" You turn, you look at her, keeping your eyes carefully on her face, and ignoring the fact that she's naked from the waist up, and more or less from the waist down. I was, you were breaking the rules, weren't you? That's okay. Darla turns away from him for the moment, and you can't help but admire her firm ass, framed by the garters leading to each of the thigh highs. Oh, fuck, you think? So good. Darla's back is to you as she unbuckles the man, strap by strap by strap. Finally, he slumps off the table. Before he can say anything to you, in fact, he studiously avoids eye contact with you. He seems embarrassed by his powerlessness, by the fact that he's been made to come by this machine in front of an entire room full of people. You don't blame him. It was rather pathetic. Still, there's something inside you that wonders what that machine feels like, what it might be like. The way that Darla's looking at you, you may very well find out. You give a little snort. Darla flashes you a cold look. Two burly women come down and help escort the man out of the room. Some of the women have begun to chatter about your presence, interrupting their orgasm-a-thon. You can't help but wonder if this is a nightly ritual for them. How exciting, you think. Must be so good. Still, you're glad your cock is safely tucked away in your pants now. As you stand at the front of the room, you don't really have any interest in being a spectacle for these women.
Suddenly you can tell that she is no longer making any effort, even the slightest effort, to control her disdain of you, her distaste for you. You can hear it dripping off every syllable as she walks towards you. Click, click, click. What did I say, G? Tell me, what did I say? Your mind is racing. You're unsure of whether you should speak or not. I think I said that you were not to come down here. I think I said you were to stay in your office or on the floor, and that you were not to go exploring, and that this was none of your business. Her words drip icicles, and you can feel it settling on your heart. You start to stammer back up, trying to put yourself closer to the door. But it seems, however you move, she's there in front of you, blocking your way. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, you say. I have no interest in whatever's happening here. No interest? No interest? I beg to differ. I think you're very interested. I think that you're a curious fucking prick who couldn't keep to himself. Who couldn't follow the simplest fucking directions. Am I right, G? You can feel the color flushing your cheeks as you can tell just how angry she is. Yes, you say, wondering if you can appease her. I don't know why I'm surprised. You're just like every other fucking man, aren't you? Do what you want, when you want, however you want. You think you're so fucking entitled that the world revolves around whatever it is you want, regardless of who's paying the bill, regardless of who is your fucking boss. Am I right? You shuffle from side to side, trying to avoid her ire. Yes, you say. You know, I was really hoping that we could get through this project before. Your head snaps up. Before what? Always the fucking curious one, aren't we? The blood running in your veins is running colder and colder as you see their smiles, their glee, their happiness. What is going on, you think? Listen, G, why don't you have a seat right up here? Right next to this lovely machine of ours. Just go ahead and sit. I want to explain to you what our organization does. I know you've been wanting to know. You've been dying to know. So, it's time that you learn. Aren't you curious? You're not sure if you should nod your head or not, so you just stare at Darla. Well, this is an organization dedicated to the eradication of men. You cock your head to the side, unsure of what she's talking about. Oh, you think this is a joke? No. You know how there's always these fears in popular culture about how the feminists are going to come together and ruin the world and kick out all the men? Well, it's happening. We're doing it right here.
Right here and in centers all across the country, across the globe. You try your best to ignore the sway of her breasts as she speaks.
All this research that we're doing? We're working towards guaranteeing a male-free society. But what will we do, you think? You're wondering, how will we survive without men? Suddenly, laughter is heard throughout the hall as the several dozen women chuckle and laugh, snicker, almost jeering. That's right, G. None of us need men. There's only one thing, just one tiny little thing that we need from men. And you know what? Once we have that, you're useless. So, if you think about... if you think about all that data that you've been entering, all those dates for all the different men that we've been keeping track of, you may wonder, I know you've been wondering, what is it we're keeping track of? What do those dates represent? Well, if we're going to create a truly male-free world, what we need to do is to preserve some sperm. That's all you men are good for, right? That's all we need from you. Just a few vials of frozen spunk. Everything else is useless. Oh, don't look so sad. I'm sure at some point someone found you somewhat useful, but not here. Martha certainly didn't. She recommended you for this project. She said that you could do the work and then contribute to the cause. So, I think what you'll find is that over the past several years, we've had more than 100 men kept here. Yes, I know, we could have a sperm bank, do it all on the up and up. But do you think that men would be so willing to donate if they knew our ultimate purpose? Our goal? To eradicate them from the very earth? To make their existence futile, useless? I thought not. So now, I know you've seen our little dormitories. I know you've seen the locked doors. Behind each one of those is a man. Oh, they're kept very well. They're fed. They're given things to occupy their mind. I mean, no contact with the outside world, of course. We couldn't have that. And all they have to do, is to stay healthy enough to produce for our bank. Now,
you may wonder why we keep the men caged, why we don't let them play with themselves. Well, two reasons. First, we like to get nice big loads, and we find that men who've been deprived for weeks on end, they do indeed have the biggest loads. Plenty have come to join the growing ranks. But mostly we keep the men caged because we find, well, we find it amusing. We enjoy their pathetic begging, their neediness, how desperate they are. Sometimes men, once they're let loose, if you don't carefully watch them, they'll rub up against anything. A chair. A wall. They're like animals. It's nice to know what men become as soon as you take away their favorite toy.
Darla steps towards the machine. Last M, you mumble to yourself. Oh, you are clever. Yes, that last M stands for last milking. Every 2 weeks, each man is milked. His sperm is collected and frozen for future use. Occasionally we have to drug men, at least at first. But once they realize this is their only chance at release, at least their only chance of release until the next time, many of them are eager to climb onto the machine. Many of them beg. They beg for the machine. And you know, we could. We certainly could manually stimulate each man. Again, there's laughter throughout the hall. And several women make faces. But then we'd have to touch those pathetic cocks. We'd have to dirty ourselves. We'd have to be unclean. Oh no, it's better that this machine does all the work. Sucks the cum right from their balls. Look at you squirm. I think you're not entirely... I think you're not entirely offended by the idea. And you know what? That's good. Because... Ladies. Krissa? Cheryl? Come on down. That's right, G. It's your turn. You're about to become one of the lucky. One of the few. One of the only men. Whose lineage will continue. Oh. That's right, hold him down. I could see the question in your eyes. What are we going to do once we've collected all of our samples? Well. Oh, it's so precious. We have several amazing scientists on our team. And they have managed to, well, they have managed to develop a little virus that seems only to affect men. Can you imagine? What men it doesn't kill, it makes sterile. Sure, it kills some women, but most will survive. And then all will come here. They'll have to be part of our society if they want to survive, because we'll have the only viable supplies in order to create the next generation. Oh, no, 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 no. We wouldn't allow any woman to carry to term. Any male child. Only women. We're going to have a society free of men. It's going to be such a wonderful place. You have no idea. And you won't. Not after the virus gets you. But until then. Oh, until then, gee. Until then, you can get milked every 2 weeks in front of a live audience. Until it's time for you to die. That's right. Strap him down. Suddenly, two very large women are on either side of you. You struggle against them, but somehow, your heart's not in it. Where are you going to go? How can you fight 50, 60, 80 women? What are you going to do in the face of such power? You slump against the machine. You feel your parts roughly handled. Your pants pulled from your body. The straps tighten around your thighs, around your calves, around your ankles, across your back, across your neck, your arms, your wrists, until you're completely immobile. Meanwhile, Darla's hand is gripping your cock, putting it inside the cylinder. You press your hips flat. You close your eyes tight. And you resign yourself to your fate.